I had text Scott last night. I just wanted to quickly share something. I promise it will be quick. I didn't bring a lot of things. I just wanted to put something in your mind. How is it when someone says thank you to you? How does it feel? It feels pretty good when someone appreciates what you do and they thank you for something that you said, a kind word or kind action. So I wanted to take a few minutes today and go back 5 years. Because 5 years ago this summer, I came and joined you guys in worship. And you were going to the park once a month. And this was COVID. And then Scott took a census and asked if y'all just wanted to meet every week. And I'm like, this is great, because I was in the church building and then came here, found out you guys were doing it once a month. So I joined you guys 5 years ago this summer during COVID, had started a new job, new apartment. Everything was great when COVID hit because I got paid to move, to stay home and move. So that was good for me. But I just wanted to mention a couple of highlights to share with you how much I appreciate being a part of this family. So that was 5 years ago. And then a few years ago, I think it was 3 years ago, I was baptized here. There was supposed to be like four of us, and then it was just the Heidi show indoors. You know, one person, and my whole family had flown in for a family vacation. I said, Scott, we got one Sunday, they're all together. So I have to do it on that Sunday, whether it's inside or pool. So I had gotten baptized to celebrate 40 years of being with the Lord. And then you guys let me join the Ladies Connection. Of course, Jan is always finding the people that are new here and then welcoming them in. And I joined the Crazy Ladies in their book club on Tuesday nights. That was great. I loved doing that. I loved how you guys just took me in on that, women. And then you let me serve. And then I learned quickly how Scott works. I asked if there was a sunrise service. Because I was one of those kids that loved doing that, and he said, great, you want to do it? Wonderful. I'm like, okay, this is all right. This is a hands-on church, and he lets people do things and delegates. Yes, you go right ahead, Heidi. You want to do that. And I'm still doing it. I love it. I love getting up bright and early. I've always been a morning person. So, and then the nursery, you know, God was tugging at my heart to serve in nursery because I've always worked with kids, always been involved with children, and Scott's like, yes, we need somebody, and we've just been waiting for somebody to take over the nursery for that calling. And then Bible studies. I've been able to hold the early morning Bible studies before church, and a few of you have attended that with me. So, you know, between joining the women's group, and you guys welcoming me and Scott being, yes, serve, do your Bible studies, letting me be baptized. And then he's asking me to share for the service. So then I've shared a few times or taught. I don't know if you want to call it teaching. But,
You're going to scare him.
You're going to scare him. So, and then you all know I came to you and I needed to move out of my apartment. I needed a place to stay. And I told you I was hunting for a house. And then God blessed me with Jen and blessed her with me because God's timing is perfect. And that whole thing God had written out. And I didn't know Jen that well. Jen didn't know me that well. We're like, hey, well, we'll try it. We'll throw a ferret in the mix and see how it goes. So, and then I had shared with you, I came up in front of you all, in front of the family, and shared and asked for you to pray about a house. And then I knew God was going to do something special with it. I did not know that he was going to give it to me and give it away. That now I have a place for my parents to stay, and they're in my Standish home. And I knew he was going to do something with the house, I just didn't know what it was. So my parents are here, and they're in the home that God had planned out for me to have. Also, I want to thank you all for 2 years ago, you noticed this man came to church. Yep. Some of you knew him.
Oh,
some
yeah.
of you didn't, and you all accepted him, which is hard not to do. He's a great guy.
Still on the fence.
And you watched us develop our relationship and gotten to know him, because he's out there, he's social, he is well on his own, whatever he does is him, not me, you guys. So, good on me. But you saw us grow in our relationship, and 1 year ago today, a majority of you guys were in that building, sweating, laughing, crying, whether it was crying of heat or just crying that it was over and let's hurry up and be done with the thing. But we all suffered through it together, and you celebrated with Tom and I on our commitment to God and commitment to each other. And it was just something we so wanted, and I knew you guys, I mean, he's gotten to know you the last 2 years. But it really, that was our focus of the wedding, was we just wanted everybody to be there with us and to celebrate and enjoy each other. And we wanted the kids, and that's Tom and I. We are the whole gamma. We wanted everybody there. And I just wanted to thank you all for being there through all these things in my life and watching all of these things happen and see God's hand in my life and now in our life, in his kids' lives. So I just wanted to say thank you, and I'm grateful to be a part of this great family, and I know Tom is too. He doesn't really have a choice, but he's thankful. So I just wanted to take a minute to share that with you guys and say thank you, and I'm going to pray before Scott comes up here and speaks. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for the breeze. Thank you for being able to be outside and worship you, and thank you for this family, Lord, that you have created, that you have woven all of our lives together for a perfect story and a perfect plan. Please be with Scott as he shares today, and be with us as we listen, that all of us will, we know that there is something that we need to hear that he has to say today, Lord, and I just thank you for that, and I pray these things in Jesus' name, amen.
We love you, Heidi.
Hey, I got to tell you guys something, because this morning when we were coming out to set up, of course, it was a main 2025 Sunday morning, and we were like, it was trying to rain, but it missed. Ba-dum-bum.
Thank you.
Hey, the one, an epistle is not the wife of an apostle. Yeah, that's going to be used now. Thank you for that, eh? My wife's going to be mad at you. She's going to be like, oh, no, he's got another one. But anyway, when we're setting up, everybody's coming from their different directions and going, oh, yeah, I had my wipers on. Ed's texting, we got our wipers on up here. Right here, it was just feeling like you're living in a cloud. But I was like, the weather forecasts say 0%, so we should be good. We should be okay. But we were like, okay, let's take a vote. And I said, all those in favor? And I raised my hand. And then immediately, like Jerry and Roland, like, well, yeah, okay, we're going to raise our hands too. And Tom's like, hey, I think this is fixed. But I said, we're going to have a good day. It's going to be good out here. Now, I want to tell you something. This, doing this, is a pain in the rump. As my dad would say, it's a pain in my keister. I know, it's a lot of work. But you know that when the Bible says go, go and make disciples. Go and serve. Go. It never says stay and invite. But that so often is our model. Stay and invite. Every time that word go comes up, it causes inconvenience. It causes us to look and say, oh my, I don't know. I have to move. I have to do this. I have to do that. I've never had a go command in my life where I felt the Lord calling me to something that has been just like so easy, no risk, no cost, no anything. It's always been go. and serve. Go to the nations. Go to your neighbors. And that go adds immediately inconvenience. So you just heard, and I didn't set this up. Heidi will attest to it. I didn't set this up to have Heidi share that this morning. Okay? But here she was saying, and I found you guys in the park. You know what my job description is? Scripture says that my job description is to equip the saints for ministry. Yep. To equip the saints. Now, you guys are saints. Okay, some of you are like, I ain't no saint. I know that. But by the blood of Christ, you are a saint. You are in his body. You are, you're adopted. You've got all of the inheritance that you share with Christ. And so my job is equip the saints for ministry. Now, every church I've ever served in, the pastors have said, my job is to equip the saints for ministry. And that has meant you stack chairs. Or you serve in the nursery. Or you come paint. And I haven't been in a church to this point that says, hey, how about you learn how to speak? How about you learn how to teach? How about you step up and lead this ministry? And in all of those occasions, people are like, I don't know if I can do that. I say, you know what? We're a lab. We're a lab here to equip the saints for ministry. And that's what we've been doing. And that's why we're out here in the park doing this every week. It's so much easier if we just go to the church. So much easier for all of us, and so much easier for me. We show up here at 7:45 and start setting up. At the church, we can kind of roll in at 8:20, 8:30. It's pretty much you turn it on, adjust a few things, everybody plugs in, and it's good to go. So we're going to keep doing this because we have many of us who have discovered us in the park. And if you're here this morning and you're maybe on the playground, you're hearing my voice or whatever, we do this every week because we've discovered that the real gospel, the real word of Jesus, the real things he taught changes lives. It changes perspectives. It changes the way we see trials. And we have that message. And so we want to share it with you. And that's why we do this. Now, this morning, I want to ask you a question. A question. I was hoping Katie would be here, but I know they're off because they're enjoying having the week off of doing this. But as I put my jorts on this morning, I thought of Katie because she hates jorts, jean shorts. We should have a Sunday where we all show up wearing jean shorts just for Katie. Now, I want to ask you a question, though. What happens when you, with cockroaches? Ew, gross, right? Yeah. What happens with cockroaches when you walk into a dark room and flip on the light?
They scatter.
David says they make a giant pile and turn the light off. They want to be in the dark. They don't fight the light. They scatter. They run. It's like they don't go, hey, turn that off. They immediately run and hide. Why? Because light exposes what's hidden. It shows us what's in the dark. And so cockroaches hate light, just like evil hates the presence of Christ. Now, I brought this that I've used before because it's the most brightest light that I have. Right. And it makes people see, and it's so bright.
It is bright.
But the love of Christ is 100 times this bright.
Yeah.
Okay, and then I kept coming out of my garage loading my car this morning going, remember that reflector. Bring that reflector. Bring the reflector. Bring the reflector. You know, the snowplow reflector. Bring that. Put it in the car now. And I'd go back in, get something else. I didn't bring the reflector. But I brought this. This is a little safety arm, wrist, You guys, have you been driving at night and somebody's jogging and they're wearing all black and nothing reflecting? And you're like, what on earth is going on? But people who have a reflector, you see them from like a half a mile away. Is it because of their power that you see them? Oh, goody. Hello, let's talk about demons and Satan. You know, whenever I've asked people, and I've been in churches where we've taken surveys to say, what would you like us to preach on? What would you like to learn? It has always God and the person of Christ when we look at Revelation. But everybody's like, are we living in the end times? Are we? Well, when you think about eternity, yeah. And when you think about eternity, no. We got a lot of time. Maybe we're in the end times. But every person out there who loves to talk about the end times writes a book, assigns a date, and then has a bestseller as they talk about, we know when it's coming. But Jesus said, I don't know when it's coming. Even I don't know the date. And so people are like, we want to learn about end times. We want to learn about demons and angels. Why is that? Why do you think that is? Any guesses?
So they can wait to believe in Jesus.
So they can wait to believe in Jesus?
Yeah.
I don't know, because all the end time stuff that I see make me think that I better come to Jesus right now, because on the drive home, he's probably going to show up and I'm going to be in trouble. But some of them might have that motivation. But you know what I think it is? It is so fascinating. It is wild. There are wild stories in the book of Revelation, and they're fun to read. And I think it's so fascinating. Why is it so fascinating? I think it's because of Hollywood. I love Hollywood, the movies where they make demons and scary creatures look just like goo coming off them, and, you know, their green eyes, and they're glowing, and they're all that. They're gory, creepy, and they're crawling on ceilings, and all of that stuff. We're like, ooh, look at that. Look at that. And Hollywood always frames it, good versus evil, Satan versus God, as though it's a 50-50 standoff. Hollywood always presents it as, who's going to win? Is this big, scary monster guy going to win? Or is good going to win? So here's the thing, guys. Every generation since Jesus has had signs of the end times. They've always been present. And that's one of the things I like about the timelessness of the book of Revelation. In every society, people have been able to go, look, this. Remember when credit cards were the sign of the beast, when they started showing up?
Oh, yeah.
Then we got debit cards, sign of the beast. Yeah. They're coming. And all that. But guess what? The Bible doesn't present it that way at all. And we're going to look at that this morning. So movies and entertainment, creepy, gory, Hollywood, equal power. But what's more accurate? In the early 1900s, and this story has been retold through the years, they think it's most likely from this Pentecostal preacher named, his name I believe was Lester Sumrall. But he told this story. And he told it talking about our authority in Christ and the authority of Christ over evil. And we as believers, how to react. And he said, one night I was awakened by a demonic presence in my room. I opened my eyes and I saw Satan himself standing at the foot of my bed. The room was filled with a foul stench like sulfur and a greenish, eerie glow. Evil radiated from that figure. I immediately knew who it was. I looked at him and I said, "Oh, it's just you." And I rolled over and went back to sleep. The authority of Christ, the way the Bible presents it to us, we're going to see in the passages this morning that the demons run. Satan runs when Jesus shows up. It's not a 50-50 battle. It's not, and it's so that this old story that I've heard retold multiple times. I think David Wilkerson was most recent, talking about going down his stairs and finding Satan in that scene, sitting in his living room and saying, "Oh, it's only you." And then he went back to bed. Because our stance in Christ is that we have the power of Christ on us, the Holy Spirit indwelling us. And Hollywood has us terrified of this thought. Now, scary movies don't hate me. I mean, don't hate me. Don't scare me. But Robin hates them. Robin hates them. She will not watch them.
I won't either.
Yeah, chickens. How many of you are scary movie fans? Come on, you can admit it. I love scary movies. And I'll watch them. I love thrillers and I'll watch these things. There's a new one out after seeing the first one, Megan, where this doll is created. Man, that was creepy. And she has AI and all that. Now Megan 2 is out. And I'm like, "Robin, we were with the other night. What do you want to watch for a movie?" And I start off with the remote. "How about this? No. How about this? No. How about this? No." And then I give her the remote. "Whatever you pick, we'll watch." Occasionally, you know, she comes in and I'm already watching. Like last night, where we're watching one where aliens came down to save the Earth. And the way they were going to save the Earth was to exterminate what was killing the Earth, which was us. And so you know what ensued. We watched that, and that was a good flick, wasn't it, honey? No. We'd already seen it. But so what? And you know, I watch these scary movies. They don't scare me. Why? Because I watch them and go, that's not even close to what the Bible says. Not even close. I'm not really scared of the way you just presented that. And you saw this priest bouncing off the walls and being thrown up against the ceiling. And you're watching all that's not even how Scripture presents it, even close. That's Hollywood's story. Okay? Here's the thing. I need someone stand up and read, or come up here and read for me, 2 Corinthians 11:14. Who's going to look it up? Look it up on your phone. Come on up here and read it. I'm going to take the time to do that to make sure it's not just me reciting something, but you're actually looking it up. 2 Corinthians 11:14. Angel's got it. She's looking at it. You no. Find it yet?
No.
Why not? Oh, you're playing.
I can't find my app.
You're playing Tetris. I
can't find my app.
You can open Google.
I have a Bible app.
Yeah, you can go your. What? You can't find your Bible app?
Okay,
oh, boy.
It's right here.
Oh, boy. Judgment flowing now. 2 Corinthians 11:14. Here comes Tom. He's taking the heat off you. Now listen to Tom.
He's a page holder.
2 Corinthians 11:14. "And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light."
So Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. He doesn't go around looking like that, because you know why? He'd be really easy to avoid. I mean, I walk into a room and I see that, I'm walking out of that room. Yeah. All right? So he disguises himself as good, as an angel of light. If you want to read through and look at this further, read Ezekiel 28, where it talks about Satan being perfect in beauty. That he was so beautiful that caused his level of pride. And that caused him to rise up against God. And then God kicked him out of heaven, threw him down. If it was an equal fight, that wouldn't happen, right? Equal, that wouldn't happen. So the Bible does not teach that it's a 50-50 equal. All right. I love Matthew 8, 28 and 29. Matthew 28, 29 is the pigs in space verse passage. Have you read it, pigs in space? It's great. Great. Look it up. Matthew 8, 28 and 29. When Jesus arrived on the other side of the lake in the region of the Gadarenes, two men who were possessed by demons met him. They came out of the tombs and were so violent that no one could go through that area. No one could pass through that area because they were so scared of these guys. They began screaming at him. They saw him from a ways off, it says in Mark and Luke when it talks about this story. They saw Jesus coming from a ways off. And they began screaming at him, "Why are you interfering with us, Son of God? Have you come here to torture us before God's appointed time? The last day, the time we know we're getting it? Okay, have you come to torture us now?" And the demons saw him coming from a ways off, like over by the gazebo. And they're shaking in their boots. I don't know if demons wear boots. But they're shaking. They're scared. There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding in the distance. So the demons begged, "If you cast us out, send us into that herd of pigs." All right, go, Jesus commanded them. So the demons came out of the men and entered the pigs, and the whole herd of pigs, I like picturing this, ran, plunged down the steep hillside, some say over the cliff, into the lake and drowned in the water. It's not a 50-50 equal undecided battle going on here. It's not. The Bible tells us that Satan was created as an angel and kicked out of heaven. And so it's not a 50-50. So I also want us to look at Mark 1, 23 through 26. Suddenly a man in the synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "Why are you interfering with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are." Wait a minute. "I know who you are," the demon says. "I know who you are." And then he says, "The Holy One of God." We just sang that song, and we're going to sing it again while we take communion together, to remind us that Satan, the demons, know who Jesus is. They believe. They have faith and they shudder. They're so scared. They know. Why is that? Jesus has total authority. Total authority. Even evil recognizes who Jesus is. The spiritual world doesn't question his identity or power. In James, someone will say, "You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe there is one God? Good." Even the demons believe that and shudder. See, Jesus is not just a wise teacher, guys. He's not just another Gandhi, just like Buddha. He's not just like Confucius, giving us good quotes to spread. He has the authority as God, is what Scripture teaches us. The demons recognized him, but so many of us in the United States do not. Do not. We think he is a great teacher. Great teacher. Wise. But if he wasn't who he said he was, then he was a liar. Good teachers are not liars. The second thing is notice that Jesus has compassion on the tormented. It says in Mark 1, while we're reading 25 and 26, but Jesus rebuked him saying, "Be silent and come out of him." Be silent and come out of him. And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. Jesus could have ignored that whole thing. But Jesus, in his character, he heals. He presents us with life. He frees us from the things that entrap us. That's what our Jesus does. He doesn't ignore the man. So we see that Jesus has compassion on the tormented in this story. Jesus sees past the disruption to the hurting soul of this man, sees past it, and he responds with authority and mercy for the man. Mercy. Jesus responds to you with mercy, with compassion. And you know what? He calls us to do the same with people who are tormented, whether they're tormented by addiction, whether they're tormented and struggling with mental illness, whether they're tormented by this season that's happening right now in their lives, which is causing problem and fatigue and just this disaster in their lives, we are to reflect Jesus and be part of that solution. The third thing, Jesus has complete power over evil. The evil spirits in Scripture, they obey him immediately. Nothing like Hollywood. Nothing like Hollywood. There's no battle, only a command and a surrender. See, our Savior isn't threatened by evil. It amazes me how often every election rolls around in the Church of Jesus Christ responds in fear. Like, if this guy doesn't get elected, if that guy gets elected, and then they're like, God is sovereign. God is in control. But. And we get so wrapped up in all the politics of man that we don't recognize that we are citizens of heaven. So here's the takeaway I have for you today. Remember that Jesus isn't just a figure of the past. He's not just a figure of the past. He is the risen King. The risen King. You say, no kings? I can say that. No kings. Except for Jesus in my life. Because he is my King. And I will do what he says first and foremost. And I will reflect him because he is the light. He's a risen King with unmatched authority, deep compassion, and absolute power over every form of darkness. We get nervous, we get scared about the events of happening in the world, or who's fighting who, or whatever it is. To remember that we belong to a supreme, sovereign, omnipotent God. And he has your best interest at heart. Will it be easy? No. The book doesn't. I mean, people who are like, can you believe how hard it is? I'm like, have you read the book?
Yeah.
Go read that book and you see that it gets hard. But the thing is, Jesus stands with us and gives us strength to endure. In Romans 38 and 39, there's this list of things that can separate you from the love of God. So you should write them down, and that way you can recognize all the things that can separate you from the love of God. You ready? Make your list. It says, and I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life. Neither angels nor demons. Neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of all hell can separate us from God's love. Not even hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate you from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is the Jesus who changes our lives, who gives us hope, who gives us strength to go on and never leaves us or forsakes us. Our music team's going to come up, and we're going to invite you, if you'd like, to go on over and take communion. We have the cups there, a little trash bag next to it, pieces of bread. And we do it this way so that you have the freedom of just picking it if you want, or if you're like, no, I don't know what that is yet. I'm not really comfortable with that. That's fine. All right. But for the rest of us, it's a reminder of what Jesus did on the cross when he willingly gave himself up as a sacrifice to once and for all defeat Satan and wash us from all sin. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for the grace that abounds, that just baffles me, Lord. Thank you for giving your broken body. Thank you for your blood, which was spilled for the remission, the payment for sin, that makes us washed whiter than snow, without blemish in the Father's eyes. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.